common ground for like, this is what something long-term can mean. This is what something platonic can mean. This is what something physical or open can mean. And it's not 100%. It's just a start, right? Rather than starting with your random ideas of what something long-term means, what my random ideas of something long-term means, and then we don't talk about any of it until, you know, we, you know, have that fight at Thanksgiving or something.
Hi, everyone. I'm Vanessa Rock. I am the host of On the Rocks, a dating podcast. And today we are joined by Russ Haywood, CEO and co-founder of Can We. Can We is your expert guide created to assist you in your dating journey, helping you ask the right questions from the beginning so that you can be more confident in your relationships. And I know we're going to learn so much about Can We today. So I'm really excited to have Russ on the podcast. So welcome.
Thank you, Vanessa. It's great to be here.
Great. So the way I like to get introduced to my guests, and I love my audience to get to know them, is we do an AZL, which is an age, a zodiac sign, and a location.
Sure. Okay. Well, let's see. I'm 37. I live in Minneapolis, and I was born in Minneapolis. So for those that really get nerdy about that. And wait, what was the other one?
Is your zodiac sign.
Probably Capricorn then, right? If I was born in January.
Yes, that would make sense. And your second question is, what is your favorite cocktail?
Right now it's whiskey on the rocks,
right? We're very on brand here.
Yep. Trying to pull my weight for the podcast world. Favorite cocktail, you know, it's seasonal, right? So Minneapolis has amazing seasons, very severe seasons. In the summer, absolutely gin and tonic. In the fall and winter, old fashions,
okay.
Spring. I don't know. It's probably just whatever, whatever just falls into my hand by that point.
Right. So another question that we have, since we are a dating podcast, is what is your relationship status? If you feel comfortable sharing.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm married. I have, married for weddings for the third time, right? Cause the pandemic had to screw things away for like at least two or three attempts. So I feel like I've been married for several years. Beautiful wife, her name's Carrie. We have two children together. And we've had quite the adventure, right? We're not a traditional relationship. We had children very, very early. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was a gauntlet, right? You know, in all fair honestly, right? It's a lot of work to form a real relationship very, very, very quickly. And you have to focus in on the things that really matter, right? Like that was kind of the fun thing about having kids in the picture was like, if this is going to work or not work, I need to know what really actually matters. Right. And thank goodness we had been already doing some of the research, for Can We, which is kind of the point of how you have intentional, sustainable relationships. And I really bet my life on it, you know. I was like, this is kind of a perfect experiment. Maybe experiment's not even the right word, but it's a perfect opportunity to kind of live my hypothesis. So far it's working great.
Well, that's great. So I'd love to know a little bit more about Can We? And I know I have another question that can kind of link back to your relationship status later. So stay tuned for that one. So what is Can We? And how did you come up with this idea that is non-traditional? It's not a dating app. We have to clarify that Can We is not a dating app.
Yep. Yeah, it's a relationship guide, right? So it's basically, you know, again, it's a new category. It's really about how do you bring the right people into our limited life, right? And I think we always want to think that our lives are so unlimited and we can have 1,000 swipes and have 1,000 perfect dates and things, but we really can't, right? We have limited energy, limited time, you know, limited endurance, right? And so it's really kind of about how do you treasure that intimate, high quality, in-person type of relationship. And gosh, what is it the, I want to say the Dunbar number. It says like you can really only have like 100 to 200 relationships or so. Like, it's just kind of the evolution of our tribal little brains that we can really have about 150 really high quality relationships. I think you had other questions like, how did Can We come about? Is that right?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Well, that's, you know, I got to bring New York back, right? Like I mentioned earlier in our introduction, right? But when I lived in New York, it was a beautiful city. And I was kind of a struggling actor. I just had a philosophy degree. And I was like, I'm going to travel the world and see and learn things. And you know how school works, right? Where you keep going through school and you go to 11th grade and then 12th grade and then college and you keep being successful because it's this linear thing, right? And then all of a sudden you get in the real world and there's this big cliff. And I wish every person that's in college right now listening to this understands that there's this huge cliff coming after college.
Oh, I'm there.
When you don't have school and now progress is chaos, you could do a lot of work and have no progress. You could do little work and just have success just fall in your lap. It's not linear anymore on any level. Sometimes you go backwards to go stratospherically high, you know. And so anyways, had this current vision of linear success that one has in their early 20s. And I thought New York was going to kind of keep that going. And it was by far like one of the most lonely points in my life. And it was disturbing and irritating on some levels because like I knew there were so many amazing people right there. Like, it's just, if I can swear, can I swear?
Yeah, of course.
Like, it's a fucking fact, right? That there's amazing people within a few blocks of anywhere you go in New York. And this is true, I'm sure, in every city too. Like, it's just maybe more, might be a mile or 2 miles or by sure as heck 5 miles, right? You're going to find really amazing people for dates, friendship, like you name it. You know, it's all there. That social potential is right there. But I didn't have it, right? Because either my Midwest social anxiety or I didn't have the skills. It was irritating, right? Because like, here you're suffering. I know other people are suffering too, because I could see it. You can kind of see it a little bit in New Yorkers' eyes sometimes, this loneliness, this hustle, trying to stay above water. And I knew they wanted relationships too. And they would probably want a relationship with me if I could break that wall. Right. And that wall of politeness, I think, is appropriate because, again, you don't want to necessarily know everything about everyone all the time. But what you want to know is you want to be guided to the right relationship with the right person at the right time. And so that's where I was like, you know, there has to be a way. There has to be some sort of an app or some sort of a relationship method that we can create or hypothesize and test. And you know, several years later, now we have a very start, right? We're only a month old, very basic version of that end result, which is called Can We? And again, it's very simple. It's just trying to unpack a microcosm of that big problem on a date. Because when you're on a date, you have lots of opportunity to figure out what can we be? Can we?
I see the purpose of the name.
Cheers, right?
Cheers.
What can we be? Can we be friends? Can we be something long-term? Can we be something platonic? Can we be something open?
Right. The questions are pretty detailed from like, okay, this is my experience with the app so far. So I'll kind of give it to you and then you can tell me if I'm misinterpreting anything.
Sure.
So basically, I go onto the app and it gives me options of intentions. Like, what are my intentions within this specific relationship I'm trying to pursue? So that could be, it is something serious. It's something casual. It's something physical. It's something open. Mm-hmm. And it maybe even be something platonic, like a friendship.
Yeah.
And then within that, you fill out your nice to haves, your good to knows, and your must haves within that specific intention. So even though I have no one to do this with at the moment, I filled out something serious because that's eventually what my desires are. And going through the questions, I kind of had these moments where I was like, what do I actually want within this? And it made me question my own intentions. I don't think about that often. I don't sit around thinking, this is what I want with my life. This is what I'm open to. I mean, we get asked those things on dating apps, but it was definitely a little bit more intense and individualized based off of the intention. So how did you come about to create those different intentions?
Well, so we have a team of researchers, right? So it's a small team, right? But it's real sociologists with real PhDs, real philosophy professor. I have a philosophy degree, but real psychology professors and real relationship coaches. It was a bit of research to kind of just do surveys around town and, you know, on various like research programs and things to like, what are the common relationship types? Right. Just like, what are people seeing? And this is important because we're in this amazing shadow of this post-heteronormative tradition, right? Right, which is kind of this old feudal remnant of like, this is what the man does, this is what the woman does. It just kind of keeps evolving into like this world where people get to define their own lives, which is amazing. But it's absolute chaos when you don't know what a relationship means anymore. So that's the whole point of an idea of an intention, is this is a sociologically common, a researched, you know, and still evolving, right? Common ground for like, this is what something long-term can mean. This right. is what something platonic can mean. This is what something, physical or open can mean. And it's not 100%. It's just a start, right? Rather than starting with your random ideas of what something long-term means, what my random ideas of something long-term means, and then we don't talk about any of it until, you know, we, you know, have that fight at Thanksgiving or something like that, right? So that's the core idea of an intention, right? So just get right. people on a common ground.
Right. And get them a little bit more aware and informed about what other people's intentions are. Because we can have our own intentions. We can go into something and know exactly what we want, but we could get months into spending and investing time into someone and them turn around and say, that's not what I want at all. You could get married and someone could turn around and say, just kidding, like I have no intention of this or this or that. And it could affect and damage the relationship.
Yeah, we've all been there. We've all seen it with our friends and family. You know, we've lived it. And so like that's the power of being a little bit proactive. It's nerdy, right? It's like, hey, I'm going to sit down and think what a relationship means. But there's another added benefit, right? So like right now, you're totally in your right to be in the introspection phase of the app. It's kind of the first part, which is like, what are the available intentions? What are my thoughts on those intentions? And this is great because guess what? You're sober. Right. You're sitting on the couch, you know, or in your desk. And you're not drunk. You're not in front of a pretty smile, you know, and there's a huge amount of power to having that kind of, you know, I call it like a relationship wallet, right? It's just kind of sitting there. Like, here's all your relationships ready to go, right? There, you know, we kind of created this little wallet for you to store your relationships in. And it's ready for you to talk about them when you feel that you're ready.
Yes. So, okay, this is not that I necessarily have a concern about this, but okay, so this is a toolkit that's used on first dates or maybe in the beginning stages of a relationship. How do you get someone comfortable enough to use this with you? Because we can say like it's pretty nerdy. It's not something that you just kind of say on the first date, let's discuss everything that we potentially want ever. Yeah. Yep. It's not normal necessarily. So how do we get people comfortable and willing to be as intentional as we are wanting to be?
We don't know yet, right? We're at the experiment phase, right? So that's a question we love. That's a question we don't really know. We have a couple tricks. We have plans, certainly. One idea is to like really handhold the sharing process, right? Of like, let's introduce, help you introduce this idea to a potential date, to a potential partner, right? So that's very important for us in the near future to try and accomplish.
That's definitely going to be an interesting question, I think, as things go on. And I think for me, one of the things I did in my previous situationship that almost turned into something but ended up not turning into something, this was over a year ago, but I had him play the New York Times 100 Questions That Lead to Love or 30, mm-hmm. whatever, it, some sort I of think questions.
36 or something.
36 questions that lead to love. Right. And I introduced it and it actually connected us way more than I ever thought that we would connect. Yep. And it was probably the most beneficial thing for me, but it wasn't necessarily, it was more getting to know them. But this to me is seeming like it's, these are my intentions. This is what I want. This is what I want out of my relationship.
Let's talk about love. Can we?
Sure.
Love is amazing. Love is beautiful. Love is commitment. It is peace. And it is blind. Right. Love is great. Like, we need it. I've certainly had many points in my life where I haven't had the appropriate amount of love, or I haven't tried to nurture love. And it's one of those things where it's like, in order for us to advance as a people and as a society and as a species and as a planet, we need to learn how to hold and share love better. Right. Like, who cares about how good your app is or how good, you know, your bank account number goes up or what? I don't know. Right. It's like, what is the fucking quality of the love that you bring and deliver in your life? Right.
So,
and people that listen to this might be kind of shocked at me saying that, because they're like, Russ, you're not even that lovey of a guy, you know, and then working on it. Okay. Maybe I just need to do more mushrooms or something. I don't know. But so that's love. And then there's truth. That's the other side. Right. And truth is cold and blunt and alienating. But it's very, very real. You need both. People usually focus on one.
Yes.
We need to dance with both. And that's what Kenwe is trying to kind of indirectly do. And I don't know how the hell to throw that into an app, right? What I just said, right? But it's like, we need to give you the truth of, hey, here are the hardcore expectations that define this relationship. If you're not on the same page about children, get the hell out. I don't care how cute they are. I don't care how much you love them. Get the hell out right now.
Right. I think that makes – it actually makes sense, because, I mean, I've been in a really – I was in a relationship for a year wherein love is what was led with. And then we got about 9 months in and I said, these are the things that I will and will not accept moving forward about my life and what I want. And he was completely not on the same page as me. And we still tried to lead with love, but at the end of the day, it was the truth that led to the demise.
Yeah, it is you and thousands of other people, millions, actually everyone, right? Everyone has that story of being conflicted with love and truth.
Right. And I think intentionality is the way to mend and bridge the gap between the two. But I don't think it's natural or easy for anyone. I don't think we go into dates and go, I just want to lay things out, be clear and confident, and I know what I want. It's hard to do that. Like you said earlier, sitting in front of a pretty face or when you've had a drink. So when everyone's first instinct is just kind of like throw what you want to the side and come with whatever makes the first date go smoothly, how do you think that we can get clear and confident and lead with intentionality in dating?
I think it's the ultimate answer is probably to start at the extreme beginning, right? Because it's one thing to try and pigeonhole a current date or a current relationship into intentionality, right? It is a challenge, right? Because it's horrifying on some level, right? Of like, oh my gosh, I'm going on a date with this person and now I'm going to lay out all of these really big expectations. And part of it is that we need to work on delivering it in smaller bites.
Right.
We need to work on delivering it in a way that's a little bit more humane and maybe clustered, or there's lots of kind of engagement ways that we can make that moment a little bit softer, a little bit more fun. The ultimate answer to that question, I really think, is probably starting with intentionality. Like, you need to play and understand at the very beginning this intention. And that, in a way, kind of is your zoo. Right. That you have this intentionality from the extreme beginning. And
what would you consider an extreme beginning? Like the first
discovery, like swiping, the swipe, the even not even the conversation. It's the first seed of a glimpse of a profile, whatever that might be. I think that, like, you shouldn't, on some levels, you shouldn't even, in my opinion, right? In our kind of vision and design, is that on many levels, you shouldn't even see each other unless your intentionality is relatively close. Because right. then you can build, then you can build on attraction. Then you can build on kink and intimacy and deep values and things like that. If you're not in the same shape of a relationship, to get one person to get into a shape where you're aligned, your shapes are aligned, is going to require big sacrifices, right? Which, you know what, if like, so like for me and my wife, we weren't in the same shape, and we made the shape work. Eventually we moved towards the shape, but it was very, very, very hard because, you know, she had, you know, just broken up with her ex, and, you know, and she wasn't looking for anything long-term. It's like, well, shit, right. Well, we're the longest term relationship you've ever had because we're having a baby, you know? right. And right. so we were able to move and do that.
Yeah, because I think, like, if you go on a date with someone who outwardly says they're looking for something casual, there are selections on dating apps that you see that before you swipe, then you could be wasting your time if that's not what you're looking for.
Yep.
Or you need to understand that that's what you need to expect, and you can't be disappointed when it's not what you get.
Absolutely. And what's kind of interesting is that what we're seeing now is that when people say something casual, again, like, no one really understands what something casual, it's just this huge brushstroke, which is helpful. Like, it's better than having nothing, or to be like the opposite, like, I'm long term, you're casual. And,
right.
You know, it's a start. But like, what kind of seems to be happening is that like brands are becoming the intention. Like, this is a Tinder relationship. This is a Grindr relationship. This is a Bumble relationship and things. Like, the brand, whatever their filter and their market segment is, you know, is kind of introducing this intentionality, quote mark.
Oh, absolutely. You know? I see it in marketing all the time. I see it when I watch, what is it? The Match app, Match. You have to watch like a Match commercial on TV because it sets the intention so differently from something like Tinder. Like, I just find it wild. And I think what I consider my category. So Tinder is a hookup app. Bumble is maybe a relationship, but people don't really meet that way because it takes more effort. And Hinge is a relationship app. That's how I see things from like what is popular within my region. And I would never go to something like Match or Cupid, or I wouldn't do those things because they seem like they're out of my demographic.
Yep. And so Canway is trying to be gender and like kind of like brand agnostic on some level for that level. Right. It's like we are trying to be like just sociologically responsible. So this is the common ground for like what something long-term means. This is the common ground of what something platonic or something open means. Like, this is what, if you were to look and like ask most people in the Western urban dating world, because I guess we have to be culturally grounded on some level.
Right.
We can't just be like, this is the intention for the whole world. Right. That if you're in India, like, you can get like the something long-term will work just fine for you. So we're culturally grounded and aware of how we blind our intentions. You know, it's like that is going to be a better value proposition and experience for the users than just being at the whim of whatever the random filters that these apps have that say, oh, height is now an intention or something. Right. Like, oh.
Yeah. It brings together a lot of different aspects. Like, when I was answering the questions, it asked me, are you the star of the show, or are you more of someone who likes to stay more in the corner? How do you feel about kids? Like, there were so many different questions that I could answer that made me get clear about my intentions. So how does that lead into when you connect with someone on the app? You scan your QR code and you match profiles.
Yeah. So there's kind of three parts in the app. So we just did a great job talking about the intentions, which is kind of the self-reflection part. Mm-hmm. And then once you find someone that you want to explore your intentionality with, kind of enter in the second part. And that's where the QR code comes in. And there's a lot of people who say, especially good designers, who are like, never use a QR code. They have that little troll voice and they come out of the bridge and all that. And they're like, we're trying, right? So we'll make it cooler in the future. But so it's essentially, it's just a basic pairing. So it's an encrypted tunnel, peer-to-peer, no user data. So your intentions stay on your phone, right? We don't see, you know, your data. We can't aggregate user data. And that's part of our mission, right? As a B Corp, right? Actually. So is to unveil deeper conversations. And we're very, very, very clear that the best way that you can unveil deeper conversations is by having extreme amounts of privacy and data security and things like that. And obviously we're a small startup, so it's not like we're like Russia proof or anything like that, but that's the vision. And I actually wasted a lot of time and money trying to get into like blockchain identity and things like that. But it was just like too much for, it was like bringing in the Department of Homeland Security to manage our
startup.
Basically like a country bar or something.
Right.
The metaphorical extension.
Right.
Right. So basically it's peer-to-peer on some level experience. So we don't get to see, we don't know what you're doing, what you're talking about. The moment, you know, the intentions is about kind of like your pre-date experience. And then we kind of come into that pairing, and that's kind of almost like your first date or your early date. And there's an extra step I don't think we've talked about, which is a lot of fun. It's the relationship compass. It's this idea, again, back to my social potential, dare I say even fetish, of like, what can we be, right? There's this really quick moment where you get to decide which intentions do you want to share with this person. And that's extremely powerful. It's really overlooked, but it's extremely powerful because, you know, like as we add more intentions and things like that, and right now we just have like the four or five, you get to pick what you want to share with this person from the vibe, the general, you know, moment or something. Maybe it's all of them, right? Maybe you're like, you know what? I'll take what I can get here, you know, like, or let's push the boundary. Like, let's get something, you know, physical or something weird. I don't know. Right. And they do the same, you know? And so then at that point, we're like almost like to a point of obnoxiousness, maybe even hyper consensual, right? So right. At that point, the other person will also put in their intentions, and you see where you align up just the simple intention level. So I don't think anyone has ever really done that before, right? Where you have this little compass. It's a really quick little thing, but it could be 1,000 times more powerful than people think. Because guess what? You could understand there's this whole other aspect or potential to this person that you never saw before.
Yeah, I think it can kind of give you an idea of this is something that you want to pursue and in which way you want to do that. Because I think we can go into things. We were talking about this a bit earlier with one idea of I've gone on a date. I've gone on many dates where it's been we are going to be in a relationship or we're not. And there is nothing else after that. Even if we got along great or we were great, we could see each other as friends. We didn't really have that opportunity to get into that conversation. And I feel like this app can potentially lead you in different ways and different intentions.
Exactly. And again, we're focusing on dating right now, but like my vision, like, and where like my co-founder Nick really wants us to go is like, let's really expand into friendship. Let's expand into academics. Let's expand into this whole, again, the whole map of social potential, which is actually, think about it, exhausting, because how many thousands of relationship intentions exist out there, right? It's probably a lot. So we have to probably prioritize and figure out a market strategy for that. But it's like, all right, so this date didn't work, right, on the way that you thought it would, but maybe the date can pivot into this other kind of romantic relationship. Or right. If it can't pivot to within the romance landscape, maybe it's going to pivot into this friendship landscape. Or, you know, I've had dates before. I was like, oh shit, we should be co-founders. Like, let's start, you know, like, right. You want to be the CFO? Like, or because.
Do you want to connect on LinkedIn?
Yeah. Like, move this over, slide into your LinkedIn now. You know, and it's like, I mean, that's an absolute great example. And I think a lot of people are open. And I think the people that aren't open to that might be just because they don't know how to do it. They're not, they're just like, oh shit, I'm tired. Maybe we could be friends, but I gotta go to bed.
Right. Yeah. It's kind of tasking. I mean, dating in general is a task. It's a task. It is something that you have to work on, and it's not like you go on one date and it just works. I mean, if you do, God bless. But like for most people, it isn't. So yeah. Another question I'd love to ask you is how do you think that CanWe could have affected your own personal relationship if you had it at that moment?
I mean, as a young man, like we can start chronologically if you want, right? So let's go way back to like high school and things like that. That's another beauty of the intentions of this like research intentionality is that like, how do you know what questions to ask in a relationship you've never had before? Yeah. Right? I mean, obviously it's like how dare you say if you've only been in like a 3 year or 5 year relationship, what a real long-term relationship really means. Right. You know, it's like, oh, I don't know. I guess I'm looking for this long-term thing, you know, live in the suburbs and blah, blah, blah. Right? It's like, no, it's like, you don't know shit. Right. So it's like, I think that's one of the fun things of the basic privilege of having an intention is that you're kind of building on the shoulders of common sense and the giants of research, these brilliant ladies on our team, who've just like sat down and just like, research the common expectations and put them in a box for you to kind of sort through and answer. It's like, so that would have changed a lot for me. I think of like, okay, these are the basic questions I need to ask myself and a date of like, this is our relationship. Right. And what it means to be in a relationship. We probably should figure out how we, you know, for at least hetero relationships, like what do we care about? If we get pregnant, right. You know, really should be on the same page on that. Right.
Right.
You know, and so I think that's a huge advantage. Another advantage I think would have been this basic compass idea of like, there's been like my dating life has been like, again, like Midwestern social anxiety, cold shoulder, the Minnesota ice, you know, sometimes they say like I've lived that to a T on many shameful levels, right. You know, to regret. And part of that has been like, oh, I just want to be polite, you know, or you get, again, you know, like, so you don't challenge the potential. You don't challenge what we could be, what can right. we be. Right. And so you just stay polite. And she's like, oh, this guy doesn't like me.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, okay. Or again, you know, to like, all right, now I'm getting sick of being single and alone. And now you do the converse and like you find someone attractive and thrilling and you're like, you come in full bore with the quagmire head yeah. side to side, you know, the guy from Family Guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, hey, and like gross, go away. And it's like, oh, okay. I didn't map out that intentionality. I didn't have that refined social skill to test an intention and to like
right.
leave little breadcrumbs, right? Or to yeah. pick up other people's breadcrumbs of their yeah. intentions and stuff. So having yeah. a more blunt tool would have severely helped.
I think so too. Because I think we can either underwhelm or overwhelm very easily without really being able to express our interest, like you just said. I mean, to wrap it up a little bit, like mm-hmm. it's hard to be like, this is what I want and I like you on a first or second or third date and it not mm-hmm. scare them away or not saying anything. And they're like, well, there's no point. And you can lose relationships that have a lot of potential that way. This seems like an app that can affect a lot of people in positive ways. And my entire purpose of my podcast is intentional dating, figuring out what I want, how I want to date and how I can help others. So I have really enjoyed getting to know more about Kenwi and I'm really excited to potentially use this with my next date.
Please.
And I will give you my feedback and I hope my listeners download the app as well. Where can everyone find the app?
It's on Android and iOS. Okay. You know, so just search Kenwi. Kenwi.app is our main website. And if you want to get in touch with us or send feedback, hello@kenwi.app is a really great way to get in touch with us too. And amazing. We need the feedback because we just started, we're trying to learn, we're going to move fast. We'd love to talk to you even like next winter or next spring and be like, girl, here's all the stuff that we've been doing.
Well, I will make sure that happens. I am grateful for all my listeners for tuning in and downloading Kenwi. All right. Yay.